Good morning, Maranatha, as we count down to Christmas. I'm so happy to bring you a sermon this morning in this Christmas season 2025. And we've had many Christmases. This is my 53rd year of celebrating Christmas with our congregation and celebrating it on radio for many years, celebrating it on the internet for many years. This is my 53rd Christmas message. Amen. And there's a lot of pastors are looking and searching for a message to preach because we seem to be, you know, kind of focusing on the same thing that many people are so familiar with. I want to challenge you today in this Christmas sermon to consider the two greatest gifts of Christmas. Yes, that's right. The two greatest gifts of Christmas. And I want to identify them up front, and this is the challenge, that we will embrace this great truth of Christmas, that we might have the full appreciation of what this really means to us as children of the Lord. Amen. As believers in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That we might, no matter what condition we find ourselves in, financially, physically, emotionally, or otherwise, that we find a reason for great joy this Christmas season. Praise God. Because these two gifts make us rich beyond all the wealth of the world or the universe. If there's any gold in the moon or the stars or some kind of precious ore, these two gifts are greater than any wealth in the world or the universe. And they are this. Number one, you'll be very familiar with, God gave His Son to us. And number two, Jesus gave Himself for us. This is the marriage of the cradle and the cross. God gave His Son, His only begotten Son, in the cradle where Jesus lay among the animals. And it was appropriate because God provided for Himself a lamb, a sinless, spotless sacrifice that He could accept in our behalf. But had Jesus not gone to the cross to be offered up, if He hadn't given Himself, we could never, ever be saved. So Christmas celebrates the cradle, and it also celebrates the cross. Without the incarnation, Christ coming, condescending, coming down, being born of a virgin so He could grow to full adulthood, He could not take our place on the cross. The pure, sinless baby in the cradle couldn't save anyone, but the man on the cross made it possible for everyone to be saved who would repent of their sin and receive Jesus as their Savior. I want to say that again. The baby in the manger is pure and holy, and as He was, He could save no one unless this sacrifice provided by God, this Lamb of God, if you please, if He didn't offer Himself to go to the cross. And by the way, He volunteered to go to the cross. It might appear that they took Him and they forced Him, but He did not. He could not be forced to do that. He was God incarnate. When they came to arrest Him as a part of that journey to the cross, amen, Peter took his sword out and he swung it at the first person to touch Jesus. He swung at their head and he sliced off their ear. And Jesus reached down and took that ear, placed it back on the man's head, and it immediately was healed, and the blood flow stopped. Amen. If I'd been that man, I would have backed off. I would have recognized this is not just some ordinary person that we're dealing with here. Listen, and Jesus turned around to Peter and said, "Put up your sword. Put up your sword. I don't need you to defend me. I'm doing this voluntarily. This is why I came to the cradle. This is why I came from heaven. This is why I took on flesh so I could go to the cross. And this is part of that journey. Put up your sword. If my kingdom were of this world, he said, I could have called the armies of heaven. Amen. Some people did the math and said these armies that he talked about was probably around 70,000 angels. A friend of mine, I'm going to tell you right now, 70,000 warrior angels were way, you talk about overkill. This is way more than enough to deliver him from the puny hands of men, no matter how well armed they are. He said, Peter, put up your sword. Amen. I'm doing this of my own free will. He made the decision to go to the cross. You see, God gave his son to us, and Jesus gave himself for us. That's why the cradle and the cross will always be married together. In a communion service like we're about to have today on this Communion Sunday, physically right here in Tampa, Florida. If you're in the Tampa area, come and share a Christmas communion with us. We'd be glad to have you. If you've repented of your sins and received Jesus, you're highly qualified to receive Holy Communion. Amen. Oh, but friend of mine, wherever you are today, there's a spiritual communion that you can have this Christmas season as we ponder the wonderful gifts of Christmas, the two greatest gifts, God's gift of his Son and Jesus' gift of himself for us. Praise God. Oh, friend of mine, listen, John the Baptist identified Jesus with the words in John's Gospel chapter 1 and verse 29, Behold, the Lamb of God. We used to sing the song, Sing Hallelujah. Don't be afraid. I'm not going to sing. Amen. Listen. Sing hallelujah. God hath provided a lamb. He provided himself a lamb that he could accept in our behalf. But had Jesus not submitted to the will of his Father, if he had not chose to go to the cross and offer himself, we could never, ever be saved. That's why the cradle and the cross are always going to be connected at Christmas. One man came to his pastor after a Christmas communion, and he said, Thanks for ruining Christmas for me. He said, What do you mean? He said, Because we were singing, all the joyous Christmas songs, and then you started talking about the cross and Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross. And he said, why can't we just focus on Jesus in the manger and the message of the angels singing peace on earth, goodwill toward men? And he said, Because if Jesus had not went to the cross, there is no possible way that baby laying in that manger could save us. You see, people want just a positive side of Christmas. It's a bittersweet story because that baby born in that manger was born to be a sacrifice lamb, God's only begotten Son. So he identified Jesus when John the Baptist saw him. He said, Behold, with a special revelation from God, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world, not by being the Lamb, but by offering himself as the Lamb of God upon the cross. God gave Israel a sacrificial system around which most of the religious activities revolved. The offering of an animal sacrificed by the priest was inseparably linked to the sins of the people. Yet these sacrifices, which lasted for over 1,500 years, were ineffective in securing a pardon for us for the sins committed. Then why were they offered? They served two purposes. Listen, they showed how serious sin is, in that sin required the sacrificial death of an innocent victim. And number two, the sacrificial system pointed to a time when God would provide His own Son, His only begotten Son, to be an effective sacrifice for sin. Ephesians 5:2 says it this way, "And walk in love, even as Christ, who hath loved us and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." In the garden, where Jesus acquiesced to the will of God, He knew what was coming, and His soul was sorrowful unto death, the Bible said. His sweat became as great drops of blood. The pressure was on Him, and He chose to go to the cross, despising the shame that awaited Him, and the pain, of course, but the shame was even greater than the pain. He that knew no sin was going to be treated as not just a sinner, but He was going to have all the sins of the people that were lost, you and me and all the others. They were going to be uploaded onto Him, and He would take the judgment for those sins. The wrath of God would burn out on Him on that cross, so that His innocence, before we could be made righteous, His innocence was downloaded to us. This is modern day computer language. Our sins were uploaded onto Jesus so that His righteousness, His purity, His innocence could be downloaded onto us. It's called the gift of righteousness. God gave the gift of His Son. Jesus gave the gift of Himself. He that knew no sin became treated as a sinner, so that we could be made the righteousness of God in Him. Praise God. Oh, friend of mine, these are the two greatest, most glorious gifts of Christmas. And this glorious truth should be cause great rejoicing and even greater gratitude. Jesus gave Himself for us. Look at Hebrews 9 and verse 26. "For then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world." I want to stop right here. The Bible says of Him that He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. When man sinned, God didn't panic and try to find a way to save us from our sin, ourselves, and Satan, who wants to destroy us. No, He had a provision made from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. God had provided a Lamb. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, "For He then must be often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself." When He said in the garden, "If there's any other way, let this cup pass from Me, but nevertheless, not what I will, but what You will be done." He, at that point, His resolve to go to the cross to take the pain and endure the pain and take the shame of it. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said He set His face like a flint. Peter tried to discourage Him, and Jesus said, "I must be given into the hands of men." Peter knew what they would do to Him. He said, Lord, be it far from Thee. Amen. Think of yourself, is what He was saying. Oh, I love that song, don't you? When He was on the cross, we were on His mind. We were on His mind in the garden. And for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame. Amen. Oh, friend of mine, He gave Himself. God gave His Son. But if Jesus hadn't gave Himself, if He hadn't acquiesced to the will of God, nevertheless, He said, "Not what I will." If there's any other way, any other possible way to save the lost. Let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will be done. Praise God. Jesus paid our sin debt once and for all who would put their trust in Him. Hebrews 10:11 says, "And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins." Amen. But this man, not this baby, listen, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. When he cried, "Tetelestai," one word translated, "It is accomplished." The work he came to do, the mission he came to fulfill, was fulfilled at the cross because he let them put him on the cross, and he stayed on the cross. Hallelujah. Amen. Until the sin debt was paid in full. The book of Revelation revealed Jesus as the sacrifice lamb. Revelation 5:5-7, listen, "And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain." A lamb with the white wool, whose throat had been cut, and the blood had stained the pure white wool of the lamb, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. You see this number of perfection and completeness in Christ? The Bible said of Him, "In Him dwelt all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Glory to God. And He took the book out of the right hand of Him that sits upon the throne. Praise God. Amen. A ransom was paid. A ransom was paid. 1 Peter 1, verse 18 through 20. "For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, was manifest in these last times for you." Oh, friend, Jesus was not an afterthought. When God planned to create man, give him a free will that he could choose, if he made the wrong choice, God already had a safety net in case man fell. And the safety net was Jesus Christ, who would offer himself upon the cross that you and I, who were hopeless, helpless, amen, to save ourselves, could be saved because of Him and by Him. Remember the two greatest gifts of Christmas. God gave His Son to us, and Jesus gave Himself for us. Hallelujah. How rich we are. You may be going to be evicted at the first of the year and have to live in your car. I don't know your circumstance, but I'm going to tell you, if you know Jesus, you're richer than the man that is driving the Escalade down the road. Amen. To a gated community and going into a house with more bedrooms than he needs and more bathrooms than one person can use. Listen, friend of mine. The real riches are these two gifts, that God would give His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life, and Jesus, who would give Himself on the cross for us. Oh, thank God for the gift of His Son. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift of yourself. I feel very rich. How about you today? Amen. Don't judge me by the car I drive, my bank account. Amen. Listen, one man got robbed. A preacher got robbed. And you know what he said? He wasn't a mass pastor of a mega church, by the way. Amen. He was the Apostle Paul. He said, I fell among thieves. And there was a preacher that got robbed. And he said, you know, I'm no better than Paul. I got robbed. Paul got robbed. I got robbed. But he said, you know, I thank God I didn't get hurt. They took all I had, but I didn't have much, so I didn't lose much, talking about the material. But all in the spiritual, we have everything, and you have everything if you're a child of God today. Because if you have Jesus, you are complete in Him, completely saved, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be safe from the wrath to come. Hallelujah. So this Christmas season, 2025, amen. Let's celebrate a God who gave His only begotten Son that we might be saved. He provided Himself a lamb, the cradle, the manger, among the animals. How appropriate, the Lamb of God lay. Amen. The Lamb of God. O Lamb of God. O Lamb of God. We celebrate you today. We celebrate the Father who gave you. And Jesus, we thank you for the cross. We used to sing that. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you. Thank you for the cross, my friend. I have nothing to complain. Oh, I could complain. I could complain about the shape of the world, our crazy political system that's haywire. Amen. But I thank God for those within it that are standing up for Judeo-Christian values. I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for Jesus, and I thank Jesus for the cross. So from our house to your house, have a blessed Christmas day. No matter what conditions are around you, thank God, because these two gifts, amen, are gifts that will keep on giving throughout all eternity. We'll be praising God for giving us His Son and thanking Jesus for the cross. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, I pray that you will come to Him today. Run to Him today. Receive the greatest gift of all,